if you've got your Bible with you this morning, I'll ask you to turn with me to the book of 2 John. The book of 2 John, and it's there that we'll find our thought for this morning. 2 John, of course, there's only one chapter, so it'll be chapter number 1. But 2 John, and it's kind of a small book, only 13 verses. So if you'll find that big book of 1 John or that big book of Revelation, you can back up just a few pages from Revelation at the end of your Bible, and you'll come to 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. And let's stand and read this. Let's go ahead and read this entire chapter this morning. And that way, next Sunday, you can tell your Sunday school teacher you at least read one chapter this week. And so you'll have that done. Amen. 2 John, verse number 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I write not with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. And the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Father, help us over these next few minutes. God, if I know my heart, I want to be a blessing. But Lord, I'm incapable of doing that. And so, Father, I pray you would hide me behind the book. Let them see you, not me. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday morning, I began a sermon series entitled Short Books with Big Messages. And we preached last Sunday from the book of Philemon. I told you that when you come to the end of the New Testament writings, you find four small books that only contain one chapter apiece. They are the books of Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Jude. Now, I'm afraid, and maybe you don't feel this way, but I'm afraid that oftentimes we feel like, because maybe these books are not as large as other books in the Bible, that they are somehow less important or less significant. But this is not true. In fact, it was J. Vernon McGee that said this. He said, you might wonder why just 13 verses in the second epistle and 14 verses in the third epistle should be included in the Scriptures. Both of these epistles are very brief. And someone will say, doesn't their brevity discount their message? Obviously, John didn't have much to say. And then he goes on to respond to that question, not at all. You see, the powerful messages of these books stand out when you consider them in their truth. And when we read the second epistle of John, we find once again a powerful message. The powerful message of 2 John is the message of truth. If you study the first epistle of John, you'll discover that John writes to the church at the end of his writing, and he begins to warn them about false spirits that have gone out into the world. In fact, John said it this way. He said, there are many antichrists. That's the word he uses. There are many antichrists in the world today, John says. So John said in 1 John, there are many antichrists in the world today. And can I pause long enough to say John was right? There is definitely a spirit of Antichrist in this world today. There is a spirit that is anti, that is against, that is opposed, and that is contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a spirit of Antichrist. But when you come to the second epistle of John, you discover something interesting. You discover that the doctrines and the teachings and the spirit of Antichrist is not only in the world and not only in the church, but you find it in the home in 2 John. The book of 2 John is wrote to an elect sister, and the warning given to her in this book is this: I'm going to warn you to guard your home. There is a spirit of Antichrist, and this spirit of Antichrist is in the home, is what he says. Now, obviously, there was a dear sister that John was writing to. John knew her. The church knew her. And it seems, according to the verses we just read, this dear sister was known for her hospitality. Obviously, she would entertain those men that said they were ministers. They were preachers of the gospel of Christ. And so John writes to her and he says, I don't want you to stop your hospitality and I don't want you to stop the ministry that God has given you to do, but I want you to be careful about who you entertain. I want you to be careful about who you let into your house, because there are false spirits in this world. He said, I'm warning you that the enemy is attacking the home, and therefore you, dear sister, must be on guard when it comes to your home. Can I say this morning that Satan is attacking our homes? And I'm getting somewhere. You just hang on for about 3 more minutes and I'm going to be there, and you're going to say, oh, what he's saying is making sense. You just hang on. We're getting there. I'm telling you, friend, there is an attack on our homes today. In fact, Paul said it this way to both Titus and Timothy. He said in Titus chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, he said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. He said, Titus, there are false teachers and they're in the homes. 2 Timothy 3:6, and for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led about with diverse lusts. He's telling us now the same thing John is telling us. There is an attack on the home. There's a false spirit in the home, and we must be on guard. Now, the fact that these false spirits attack the home should not surprise us. It should not surprise us, because when we think about it, we would discover that our churches, well, they're made up of homes. And our community, it's made up of homes. And even our nation is made up of homes. That means that whatever direction the home goes, and the nation goes, and the community goes, and the church goes, it is all led by the way the home goes. If Satan can get a hold of our homes, then he has our churches, and he has our communities, and he has our nations. If the attack on the home was bad in John's day, I believe it's bad in our day. Now, let's just be honest. We don't have to think about it very much. We don't have to look very hard to discover that Satan is attacking homes in 2019. He's attacking homes. In fact, almost every issue that we deal with in our media, in our politics, in our nation, almost all of them stem back to this thing of the home. In fact, we have got to the place in our land today that there's such an attack on the home, we're even trying to define, or should I say redefine, what a home even is. Satan is attacking our homes. Now, I find it interesting, and this is where I want to get to. I find it interesting that when John decides to write a letter about guarding our homes and specifically telling us that our homes should walk in truth, he writes this letter to a sainted mother. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't John write this letter to the elect father? Isn't the man to be the spiritual leader of the home? Why didn't he write this letter to the elect pastor? Isn't the pastor to be the spiritual leader of the flock? As I thought about it more and more and more, it did not surprise me at all that when John wrote about the home, he wrote it to a elect, a precious, a dear mother. You see, while it is true that the father is to be the spiritual leader of the home and the pastor is to be the spiritual leader of the flock, the reality is that the mother is the heart of the home, and the mother is able to shape the home and shape her children in a way that the father and the pastor and nobody else can. It was President Abraham Lincoln who said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." It is wonderful this morning that we come to 2 John, because this being Mother's Day, it fits the Sunday wonderfully. And I want to preach for just a few minutes on this thought today: a mother walking in truth. A mother walking in truth. And now, before those of you who are not mothers turn me off and say, "Well, I'm going to figure out what I'm eating for lunch," this is applicable to you too. So you just hang on with me, okay? A mother walking in truth. I want to encourage you women, encourage all of us to do three things. Number one, I want to encourage you to accept the truth. I want to encourage you to accept the truth. Notice what John says in verse 1, 2, and 3. He said, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, peace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." After addressing the mother and her children, John immediately writes to them about the subject of this epistle. And he writes to them about the subject of truth. Notice the repetitive nature in which John mentions this word truth. He said, "I love in truth," verse number one. He said, "Not only I, but all they that have known the truth," verse number one. He said, "For the truth's sake," verse two. "In truth and love," verse number three. Four times in three verses, John makes it clear and emphasizes to us the importance of knowing the truth. Know the truth, love in truth, be united in the truth. Over and over and over again, John said, "Elect lady, I want you to know the truth." Now that brings up an interesting question. What is the truth that John wants her to know? Well, I think that we can discover this in another of John's writings. It is the Gospel of John. He said this in John 14, 6. He tells us Jesus Christ is truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," is what he said. John 17, 17. He said that God's word is truth. John 14, 16, and 17. He said God gives believers the spirit of truth. Therefore, when John is encouraging this mother to know truth, he is encouraging her to know Christ, to know his word, to know his Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things, yes, one of the greatest things that a mother can do is know Jesus Christ. Yes, that's one of the most amazing things. If a mother is the one that helps to shape and to influence the home, then it is of the utmost importance that she knows Jesus Christ. This is not only true of mothers, but this is true of all of us. The greatest accomplishment that you could ever accomplish in your life, sir, ma'am, young person, older saint, the greatest accomplishment that you could ever accomplish is the accomplishment of knowing Jesus Christ. I feel like I need to point something out right here. I feel like I need to point out something about that word truth. That word truth that's used four times in those three verses. That word truth simply means this. It simply means reality is what it means. It means to know something for how it really is, as opposed to knowing something for how it may appear. Therefore, this means that knowing Christ is more than just saying, I'm a believer. It is more than just saying, I go to church. It is more than just carrying a Bible under your arm. Knowing Christ is more than that. It is having a deep, settled relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the truth is that there are plenty of people that claim they know Christ, claim they go to church, say they believe the Bible, but then their lives testify to the contrary. They do not know Christ in truth. And John said, I want you to know Him for who He really is. Let it be more than surface deep. Let it be on the inside of you. Dear saint of God, know Jesus Christ in reality. Know Him for who He really is. Let Him be real to you. To know the truth in this verse is to have an experience with Christ. It is interesting. In verse 1, we know the truth in love. In verse 2, the truth dwells in us. That means that knowing the truth is more than just knowing it here. It is having a relationship in our lives. It is being controlled by God. Know Him. Let Him rule your life. Let Him be the king of your life. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, how am I supposed to know the truth? How am I supposed to know Jesus Christ? Well, I wanted to show you. I'm glad you asked. I want to show it to you this way. In verse number 1, we know Jesus Christ by the way of salvation. By the way of salvation. He starts out by saying, grace be with you, mercy and peace. Can I say this morning that you and I are saved by the good grace of God? God does not save us because He loves us, although He loved us enough to give us a Savior. God does not save us just because we're good Sunday school boys and girls. God saves us because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on Calvary for our sins. We, by faith, accept that. And in mercy and grace, He gives us something we do not deserve. He gives us His Son and He saves us. Not only does He save us by His mercy and grace, but He follows it up with this word, and I like it. It's the word peace. You know, when you get saved, when you come into a relationship with God, you discover something you never had before, and that is a deep, settled peace. Amen. You say, well, how can I know the Lord? Well, you need to be saved. Amen. Need to be saved. And after, once we go a step further, after we accept God's salvation, we must begin to learn God's truth. That's what He said. He said, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Oh, I've said this before, but I'll say it one more time, and I'll probably say it again before it's over with. Salvation is not the end of the journey. Salvation is the beginning of the journey. And you are to come into that relationship with Christ, and then you are to begin to walk with Jesus Christ. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to come to Bible study. You need to get all of God you can, because the more truth you have, the closer you grow to Him. And John said, don't just accept Him. Grow in Him. Grow in truth. That's right. And finally, we begin to love the truth. We begin to love the truth. Oh, He mentions it to us. There in verse number 3, He said, in truth and love. This means that we give our total self to Him. There's a great difference. Oh, I said this a minute ago, but I'll say it again. There's a great difference in coming to church because you feel obligated to come to church and because you want to come to church. There's a difference there. You understand the difference, right? I feel obligated. I've got to. Somebody's going to look down on me if I don't. Versus, I can't wait to get to church on Sunday. There's a difference there. There's a difference between reading your Bible and praying because you know you should versus reading your Bible and praying because you want to. There's a great difference between living the Christian life because you have to live the Christian life versus living the Christian life because you love to live the Christian life. And John said, dear saint, dear mother, dear sister, he said, love the truth. Don't just know him because you have to. Let it be more than that. Let it be something that you love. I remember several years ago, I work in sales, and I was in a sales training thing, and they told us something that I've not forgot. I don't know if it's exactly true, but I remember it, so I'm going to say it. They said that when women decide on something, they don't like it, they love it. They said that if a woman is looking at something and she makes this statement, I love this, it's a done deal. That deal is about to be closed. Because when she gets to the point that she loves something, and men don't say things like that. You don't hear a man say, boy, I sure do love this at Walmart. They don't say that. They like it. But women, they love it. John said to this dear mother, he said, I want you to love the truth. Don't like it. Don't be acquainted with it. He said, I want you to love it. You see, the reality is, ma'am, that your children and your husband, they know what you love. I bet you they could tell you some things that mama loves. And can I say one of the greatest things that you should give as your testimony is that your children could say, I know that mama loves God. I know that she loves the truth. Oh, I know that she loves Jesus Christ. Oh, so we see here that we should accept the truth. We should know Jesus Christ. Not only should we accept the truth, but number two, we should acknowledge the truth. We should acknowledge the truth. He said in verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that you love one another. And this is love, that you walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Now, this is very similar to what I just said with a little difference. It takes it one step further. After encouraging the sister to know the truth, he encourages the sister to walk in the truth. The phrase walk in the truth means to obey, or it means to allow it to control. Therefore, knowing the truth has to do with our relationship to Christ, but walking in the truth has to do with our obedience to Christ. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said one time, that dear preacher that went home to be with glory last week, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said it is much easier to study the truth or even argue the truth than it is to practice the truth. You see, John is telling us now, I want you to do more than accept Jesus Christ. I want you to allow Jesus Christ to control you. I want you to acknowledge that truth that is in you and allow it to come out on the outside. Walk in the truth, he says. It seems, according to verse number 4, that John at some point had met some of this dear mother's children. And he says in verse number 4, he said, I have met your children. He said, and I have learned of your children that they walk in truth like their mother walked in truth. What a blessing this must have been. Can you imagine the joy that this mother's heart felt when she opened this letter from the elder John, and she began to read, and he said, grace and peace, and he writes to her, and then she gets halfway through the letter, and John says, dear ma'am, I want you to know that I have met some of your children, and I am so encouraged to say that they are walking in the truth just like you walk in the truth. I can imagine mama's face as it lights up and a big smile goes on her face because somebody said, your children, they're doing right. What a blessing that must have been. John said in John 3 John verse number 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Did you know that the greatest joy of God the Father is that His children walk in truth? And the greatest joy of a pastor is that his congregation walks in truth. But the greatest joy of a mother, a good mother, a godly mother, is that her children walk in truth. That is the greatest thing that a child could do for their mother. Allow me to say this morning that a good mother should desire to know Christ and walk with Christ. And I want to say to each of you, you that have a godly mother here with you today or here on this earth somewhere, if you've got a good godly mother, the greatest thing that you could do for her is walk with Jesus Christ. You know, I've learned something. I'm 40, and I laughed at Sister Megan this morning because she didn't want to say she's 28. And some of y'all would laugh at me because I'm having a hard time dealing with 40. You say, look at that little punk dealing with 40. Why don't he try 60 on for a day or two? I know, I get it, but it's just letting me deal with what I'm dealing with. But I've learned something. I'm getting a little older and probably a little wiser. But you know something I've discovered? I've discovered that the older I get, the more certain things mean less and the more other things mean more. I learned this. I learned that I found more joy in my children opening their Christmas presents than I got from me opening mine. Don't get any ideas, Grandpa. I still want something for Christmas, all right? Don't get any crazy ideas right there. Just hang tight. But I get more joy out of that. But you know, I've started saying things that I heard my dad say and I heard Davina's dad say that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me years ago, but they're starting to make a lot of sense to me now. I used to say something like this. I'd say, Dad, what do you want me to get you for your birthday, or what do you want me to get you for Christmas? And he would usually say something like this: Boy, you don't have to get me anything. Y'all just come over for a while, you know, something like that. And I thought, what does it mean, just come? Surely he wants something. There's something he wants me to get him. But you know what I've discovered? As my children have started growing up a little bit, I'd just rather them be around. Just rather be around. I've got them with me this morning, and that thrills my heart, just the fact that I've got them with me this morning. Do you know, I believe the greatest thing that a child could do for their parents, it's not just be there, it's not just be around, but it's be right with God. You can keep the Christmas presents. You can keep the birthday presents. You can keep everything. If my children are serving God to the best of their ability, that's all that I want. And I don't think that I have to ask permission to speak for my wife this morning and say that that would be her testimony as well, because I know that she's a mother that loves God and loves her children. And the greatest thing a child could ever give their mother this Mother's Day is just serve Jesus Christ. Just serve Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that's right. John said, I've met some of your children and I found them walking in truth. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now notice this. According to verse number 4, walking in truth is not optional. According to verse number 4, walking in truth is a commandment. It's a commandment. In fact, 5 times in these verses, John uses the word commandment. But notice that walking in truth in verse 4 is based on a commandment, but in verse 5 it's based on love. Obeying God's commandment is an act of love, not an act of law. 1 John 5:3, and this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. May I ask you a question before I move on? I want to ask you, are you walking with the Lord this morning? Are you as close to God today as you've ever been? There's a commandment. Walk with Christ. And there's the condition. Walk with Christ. Love it. Do it because you love it. Oh yes, I see that I see that this mother was encouraged to accept the truth, to acknowledge the truth, let it be displayed in her life. And then finally, number three, he encourages her to abide in the truth, to abide in the truth. Now watch this, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, if we are going to know the truth and we are going to walk in the truth, then that means there are going to have to be times that we stand for the truth. John now tells the beloved mother that there are deceivers in the world and she must be cautious of them. The word deceiver in this passage has a dual meaning. The word deceiver in this passage means to be led astray by false doctrine. Don't let a false teacher lead you astray. But it also means this. It not only means false doctrine, it means false living. Do not let anyone lead you to the point that you are not walking with Christ anymore. That false living is what he's talking about. Now, there are many people, and there are many things that will lead you away from the Lord if you are not careful. For this reason, we must be on constant guard. We must not allow anything in our churches. We should not allow anything in our nation. And we must not allow anything in our homes that would lead us away from Jesus Christ. I thought about something this week. You know, oftentimes when we think about someone being led away from the church or led away from God, we get the idea that, you know, the person that's led away, they must be a bad person some way, somehow. You know, we see them, they're out of church, they're not doing what they ought to do, and we have a negative thought with that. They must be a bad person. But you know, the truth of the matter is, that person that is led away or led astray from the church or from the will of God for their life, that person isn't necessarily a bad person. The devil just doesn't come after bad people. You get that, right? He comes after good people. And the person that's not in God's will today may have been in God's will a year ago. They may have been among us serving God, living for God. But at some point, the deceiver came and pulled them astray. Why do you say that? Well, I say that for two reasons. One, don't look down your nose on anybody. And number two, I say it because it could be you that's next. I'd never leave. I'd never leave the will of God. That's probably what they said at one point. And so John now is saying to our elect sister, you have to be on guard. Because, dear sister, it could be you. I want you to notice the danger of our text. John said, be on guard because there's the danger of losing ground. Verse number 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. This means that we lose what we've already gained. It is so sad when a child of God spends years living for Christ only at some point to destroy everything that they have spent those years gaining. And John said, if you are not careful, the enemy will enter and he will cause you to lose everything that you have built all these years. It's like a house of cards that you spend all that time building and then somebody comes in and pulls one little card out and it topples to the ground. Satan has done that with so many testimonies. Just pulled it right out from under someone. John said, be cautious. There's the danger of losing ground. There's the danger of going ahead, he said in verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrines of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The transgression in our verse is not abiding in the doctrines of Christ. It means this. It means to go beyond the limitations of Christ. according to our text, it is possible to go beyond the spiritual limitations that God has set for you. God puts a boundary, but you could go beyond that if you're not careful. And watch this. There's the danger of losing ground. There's the danger of going ahead, but then there's the danger of going with. It's in verse number 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. John warns the children of the elect lady, don't follow with, don't go with those that walk contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Ma'am, the enemy will lead you astray. And if he can get you to go astray, it's like a domino effect. He'll get your children. He'll get your family. Guard your heart. Guard your home. Accept Jesus Christ into your life. And if you've accepted him, walk just as close with him as you can. Because you know, the closer we are to Christ, the less likely the enemy's going to be to snatch us out. It's like a child. You know how a child is. They get afraid of the dark, afraid of the boogeyman, afraid of something. And you know what that little child will do? They'll run to their father, they'll run to their mother, they'll grab on to them. You've seen them where they'll stay right next to them, and you can't get away from them. They're just right there on you. Do you know why they're right there close to you, why they've got a hold of your leg? Because whatever it is that they're afraid of, they don't think that thing can bother them as long as they're really close to you. And there's an enemy that would love to destroy you. The best thing you can do is get really close to the Heavenly Father. Grab on to Him and don't let go. I wonder, we're going to bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Scott's going to get us a verse of a song. I want to ask you this morning, do you know the truth? Do you know the one who is truth? If you're not saved this morning, today would be a great day to get saved. If you are saved this morning, can I encourage you? Maybe you want to come pray. Just get as close to Him as you can. Get as close to Him as you can. You need that. Your children need that. Brother Scott, you sing. If anybody needs to come pray, you're welcome to do so.